This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on, wow, we're not alone in seeing Comcast as a bully. I hit the ground in London around noon their time. Okay, that overstates it. After flying overnight from Houston, it would be more accurate to say that I stumbled out of the plane like the rest of my flying comrades to an overcast and rainy day, totally different from the weather I convinced myself I would find. 2 hours later, I was in a Starbucks waiting for the Acorn London organizers and their volunteers on the door-knocking push before their first meeting in Brixton. And here's where it got good. The esteemed and influential media columnist for the New York Times, David Carr, came out powerfully with our position that Comcast had finally showed its true self as a bully extraordinaire. Better, Carr argued, as we had, that this will encourage the FCC to look at them more closely. As the old saying goes, hubris comes before the fall. And finally, Comcast has tripped on its own arrogance and contempt for the public and its customers, putting their monopolistic ambitions in the crosshairs, finally. Stopping them is still dicey, but there's real hope for serious scrutiny and the chance of victory now. But I don't want to go all David Cohen and start gloating or suffering from premature certainty. Let the Times Car make the better case instead. He writes, growling by Comcast, putting him in trouble. Comcast has a long corporate tradition of smiling and wearing beige no matter what kind of criticisms are hurled at it. That public posture is in keeping with the low-key approach favored by the company's chief executive as he seeks to take over the world. It worked very well so far. But in a filing submitted to the Federal Communications Commission last week, in defense of its proposed merger with Time Warner Cable, the company lashed out uncharacteristically at its critics, and David L. Cohen, Comcast chief lobbyist, continued the salvo in comments to reporters and in his written remarks. Watching Comcast's ballistic response to opponents of its $45 billion takeover bid was a bit like watching a campaign debate go off the rails. The frontrunner ahead by 20 points is besieged by ankle biters who suggest he's loud and a bully. He finally loses it and go off on his opponents in a fury, generally acting like, well, a bully. That's one way to make a big league go away. In baring its teeth, Comcast sought to show that the companies now opposing the deal were using public interest arguments to advance private business agendas. It said these companies had privately sought $5 billion in concessions from Comcast before going public with their opposition. In a thick document bristling with arguments on its own behalf, Comcast used quite a bit of ink and hot rhetoric on those who would lay it low, saying in part the significance of this extortion lies in not just the sheer audacity of some of the demands, but also the fact that each of the entities making the ask has all but conceded that if its individual business interests are met, then it has no concerns whatsoever about the state of the industry, supposed market power going forward, or harm to consumers, competitors, or new entrants. Gee, Comcast, don't sugarcoat it. Say what you really mean. The word extortion is usually applied to guys with names like Nikki, who wear bad suits and crack their knuckles a lot. If this is how the company acts in the wooing stage, imagine how charming it will be once it actually gets what it wants. The company named names, plenty of them, Netflix, Discovery, Dish. Its opponents were surprised by Comcast's ferocity and overjoyed. An air of inevitability has been hanging over the merger since it was announced in February. Comcast has a legion of allies in Washington and a formidable advocate, Mr. Cohen, but the opposition that has built up in the ensuing months seems to have driven the company around a bend. Comcast executives are offended. Opponents of the merger are convinced that a generally beefed up Comcast dominion over much of the country's broadcast would stifle innovation and tilt the field in unhealthy ways. What is actually going on is both more basic and more interesting. Programmers are worried that if Comcast takes over Time Warner Cable, it will have the leverage to dictate prices. Web-based services like Netflix foresee a giant that will extract significant fees for providing high-speed performance. Comcast, which agreed to all manner of regulation to complete its acquisition of NBC Universal in 2011, does not want to hand out so many bonbons to other players that the proposed merger becomes non-economic. There is no breakup fee in the deal, and Comcast could still walk, especially if it feels that a merger would lead to the regulation of broadband access, which really needs to happen, as if it were a public utility. When I was young, says David Carr, and stupid, my friends and I tried to cut through a yard full of turkeys just for the thrill of it. The turkeys surrounded us and immediately began hitting us with their wings, protesting the intrusion. My farm-raised pal cautioned me just to ignore it, but after a while I couldn't stand it anymore and gave one a nice swift kick. And that's when the trouble really started. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.